Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Pamela Frenzy, and in this show, we're going to discuss the architectural overview of USB 3.0. We'll look a little bit about what USB 2.0 was as far as architectural summaries, and then go back over USB 3.0, basically called Super Speed USB. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out the GoGo profile I have on GoGo.com. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the new features in USB 3.0, basically an architectural summary. Let's look first of all at the data rate and talk about the data rate. Data rate in USB 2.0, low speed devices were 1.5 megabits per second, full speed 12 megabits per second, high speed 480 megabits per second. In the super speed USB, the super speed data rate is now 5 gigabits per second. Now, one thing to keep in mind as we go through all these overviews as far as the architecture go and all the different characteristics is that super speed USB requires complete backward compatibility with USB 2.0. That means you'll have both buses running in parallel. So super speed devices need to support the 5 gigabits per second data transfer, but they need to also support one of the USB 2.0 speeds. Now, the data interface, drastic changes in the data interface. In USB 2.0, data was basically half duplex, and it used two-wire differential signaling. Therefore, it only gave us unidirectional data flow, so data in one direction only. In the super speed model, it's actually what's called a dual simplex model. The data interface is dual simplex. What does dual simplex mean? Well, basically there are two simplex channels, one in each direction, giving us simultaneous bidirectional data flow. So now the interface is four wires. It still uses the differential signaling that USB 2.0 used, a D plus and a D minus line, to signal the data value. But now we can do data in both directions. What's nice about that is not only did the speed in USB 3.0 go up to 5 gigabits per second, but it also can go in both directions now. So devices, for example, and the host, for example, don't have to wait for acknowledgments on their receive side before they can transmit the next information. So much more efficient. The cable signal count obviously had to change. In USB 2.0, basically you had two data lines for your low speed or full speed or high speed data path. In super speed, it's now 6. 4 for the super speed data path, and then we need 2 for the non-super speed data path, the USB 2.0 backwards compatibility speed. And again, so now we have 4 signals for our super speed data path, and we have 2 signals for our USB 2.0 data path. The transaction protocol on the bus. In USB 2.0, basically the host directed everything and it was a polled traffic flow. So for example, in a bulk transfer, or let's talk about an interrupt transfer. In an interrupt transfer in 2.0, the host will come every service interval to the device for service. So let's say we have a mouse or a keyboard. The host is going to pull that mouse or keyboard every time it has its bus interval. So if the device, for example, said, I want to be pulled every 10 milliseconds, then every 10 milliseconds, the host would pull that device, whether or not that device needed service. So it was a polled traffic flow. Another thing is that packet traffic is broadcast basically to all devices. So we talk about the starter frame, for example. The way the host keeps the bus alive is by broadcasting starter frames every second in a full speed and low speed bus and every 125 microseconds in a high speed bus. So this, again, that's overhead that's flowing on the bus. In USB 3.0, in the super speed model, it's still host directed, but there's also something now called asynchronous traffic flow. So let's go back to our interrupt device that was a keyboard or a mouse. The host can pull that keyboard, and that keyboard can send what's called an asynchronous notification, and basically saying, I'm not ready, take me out of the scheduling for bus time. And then what that will do is then the host doesn't have to come back every polling interval and poll that device. So again, freeing up bus bandwidth. If you look at data flow on a USB 2.0 bus, as far as the polling goes, you'll see that it takes up a lot of bandwidth and very few transfers back to the host. So typically what you'll see is you'll see the host doing an in to an interrupt endpoint and the endpoint NACing, basically saying, no, I haven't had a change, for example, in a mouse, let's say. Well, that's a lot of traffic, unnecessary traffic on the bus. Now the host can pull that device, and that device can say, no, go away, I don't need to be serviced now. And then when the device needs to be serviced, the device sends an asynchronous notification change back to the host, and the host will put that device back into the schedule again. So one more way to make it more efficient by eliminating unnecessary polling on the bus. Now, packet traffic is now not broadcast to all devices. It's explicitly routed to the targeted device. So what that allows us to do is that allows us to keep each link side free for data traffic that's really necessary between the two link partners, for example. So packets are not broadcast out to all devices. They're explicitly routed to devices. And again, making the bus more efficient. One of the big goals in USB 3.0 was keeping the bus more efficient. So let's talk about another characteristic, power management. In USB 2.0, basically we had port level suspend with two levels of exit latency. And that basically was the power management scheme. In super speed, we have multiple power management levels. And what this does is instead of just having suspend in USB 2.0, we basically have lower power states. So we have what we would call an idle type state, a sleep type state, and then a suspend type state. Each one of these power management levels has a longer exit latency in coming out of that power state. Also added is the ability to do power management at the link level, the device level, and the function level. So for example, if a device has more than one function, that device can have some of its functions in a lower power state while other functions are still in full power state. When we talk about bus power, that was a big change. That was a big change in USB 3.0. In 2.0, basically there are two types of power devices. There's low power and high power. Low power devices were up to 100 milliamps. High power devices drew up to 500 milliamps. A device that wasn't yet configured could only come up and draw 100 milliamps. Well, that's drastically changed in USB 3.0. In USB 3.0, they added a 50% increase for unconfigured bus power. So instead of 100 milliamps, it's now 150 milliamps. until it's configured. It also added an 80% increase for configured power. So instead of 500 milliamps, it's now 900 milliamps. Big change in power. Another change was in port state. When in 2.0, when you plug a device into a hub, the hub detects the device. Then on the next status change endpoint polling, the hub indicates that it's had a port change. The host then sends requests to the hub, telling the hub to reset the device so that the device will come up into the operational, basically the default state. And USB 3.0, they made that more efficient. When a device is plugged into the hub port, the hub detects it. And not only does the hub detect it, but it goes ahead and does the reset to bring the port up into the default state. So when the host comes back around and polls that hub again for its status change endpoint, the hub has already reset the device. So it's, again, more efficient as far as bringing the port state up into the operational state, the default state. Now, data transfer types are the same in USB 2.0 and USB 3.0. Still have control, bulk, interrupt, and isochronous. However, they also have new super speed requirements. Bulk now also has stream capability. So you can actually do bulk streaming, and that's kind of being pushed by the mass storage class. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please be sure to use the question and comment box located below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Pamela Frenzy. Also, if there is a show you would like me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo.com.